Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's online, by the way, and if you're interested in seeing that again, Chris can get you the link. Little babies in the womb even dream. Maybe we could have the lights on, the other lights on there. Those lights. Cool. Great. I was wondering what in the world would they dream about, you know? I don't know. But it just shows you life is such a wonderful thing, a mysterious thing, a complicated thing. And it couldn't have just bounced together. It's so obviously not just the result of chance, but a creation. Well, it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, as has been pointed out by Chris. This is the Sunday in January that we look back. We look back in horror at the Supreme Court decision back in 1973 that struck down all the laws in this nation against abortion, declared them unconstitutional. We believe that life begins at conception because this is what Scripture teaches. And so every life, even unborn life, is precious and valuable to God. And on this Sunday, we talk about this all year long in different forums, but on this Sunday, we really focus in on that. And we have today a special guest with us. She is the director of abstinence education for the Crossroads Pregnancy Center in Auburn Hills. This is a ministry that Stony Creek Church regularly supports. It's part of our mission tithe that we give. She has been married for 21 years, and she and her husband have been blessed with 4 daughters. She's been involved in various ministries and community groups for many years, and specifically with the Crossroads Center for 8 years. She likes to go around speaking, especially to young people, on the subject of abstinence, education, and so forth. And so I'm glad you're here to witness this special presentation, and I'd like you to welcome Evelyn Van Sloten. Come on up, Evelyn. Is that good for you?
I think so.
Good.
Good morning. It's really great to be here with you today. As Randy mentioned, we have 4 daughters, and so any chance I get a chance to actually talk and have people not be talking around me, it's wonderful. So he said I could talk as long as I wanted this morning, and that was really great. I will try and keep my notes. We've just seen a beautiful video of life that begins at conception when that egg and that sperm cell meet and carries through to birth 9 months or so later. And it is a beautiful picture that God has given us. And with the technology that we have today, it's a beautiful thing to be able to witness and see that. And if you've experienced a pregnancy and gone for an ultrasound, you've experienced some of that wonder and awe that occurs when you can actually look inside and see how that little one is developing. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Every new DNA or genetic discovery that occurs brings us a new appreciation for our awesome Creator. We indeed are woven together in our mother's womb, as Psalm 139 so beautifully tells us, and we stand in awe at the wonder of life. So this country, the United States of America, which is not my home birth country, I was born in Canada, and I'm told I still have a little bit of an accent, so if you're wondering where that's from, I am a Canadian. But this country and others were founded on a Christian principle, and the sanctity of life was held as precious, not just at birth, but all the way through from conception to natural death. And then we come to a time like today, like this, a time where we are responsible for the taking of almost 60 million lives since 1973, when our courts decided that abortion was something that should be legalized. And yes, we care. We care when the news breaks out in Philadelphia, like many of you have heard last week, of a man named Kermit Gosnell. He's responsible for horrific acts of murder, dismembering of babies, killing of women. His clinic, if you call it such, is very unsanitary, and he is now facing multiple charges of murder. And I can't help but think, as I read through the many newspaper articles that have been written in the last week or so of it, I just recoiled, and the first time I read it, I just wept, because this is an act, and these are lives that are being taken in a horrific manner. And it happens not just in Philadelphia, but it happens all across this land. And we care when we hear about new abortion facilities that are being opened in our neighborhoods, and we care when one of our own might be facing a pregnancy and is scared and feeling very alone and feeling very judged. And so we want to have a place like the church, a place that offers hope and help and assistance for those. We care when every year 1,200,000 lives are taken in the United States by abortion. When we translate that down every day, that is 3,288. Every hour, 137. Every 4 minutes, 9 lives are taken. And every 26 seconds, 1 life is taken by abortion. So what happened? A country that was founded on Christian principles, where our values were held high, is how we started. The family was meant to be monogamous. That means one partner for life in marriage. Not one at a time, it's one partner for life. Faithfulness and commitment were meant to mean something. And the problem of abortion is interconnected with many other challenges that we face as a society today. Given the nature of our sexuality, there is a link between a respect for God's gift of sex and a respect for the gift of life that God has given. It is a precious gift of God that was intended for a man and a woman to consummate in marriage, to be procreators, to express love, to experience pleasure within an exclusive covenantal relationship. And the church is called to teach and to model the biblical principles of sexual purity and to uphold the marriage and family, which are society's building blocks. Can you hear me okay? Okay, it feels like it's fading in and out. And instead, what's happened in our society is that we've stopped listening to the voice of truth, the one that God has given to us, and we started to listen to the voice of lies, who from the one who is the father of all lies, who is Satan, who does not value life. And he doesn't value it because life is created in the image of God. And that is why it has so much value. And so our Christian values were influenced by those that were not Christian. And that problem began well before abortion even got signed into law. And as a result of the watering down of our faith, we have lots of issues in society today. And abortion is just one of them. We're dealing with skyrocketing numbers of divorce rates for those who do actually get married, with unfaithfulness in marriage covenants and relationships. And for an impure society, which television really aids a lot with the shows that they are promoting. And we have an onslaught of shows that glorify immorality. Pornography is an issue with its ever-increasing availability, and not just for men anymore, it's a real issue that women are dealing with as well. And so we lose our value and our respect for people and for those who we are meant to be in relationship with. Our country has lost its moral footing. And much of that happened way back in the 60s. Looking around, I don't know how many of you actually remember the 60s. Not too many of you. My boss tells me, who is older than I am, that if you were around in the 60s, you probably don't remember a lot of it, because it was a time when things like drugs and alcohol and sex was rampant everywhere. And as a result of that sexual revolution, we're now dealing with an increase of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. We started with 2 back then, and today we're dealing with at least 30 of them. We're dealing with a high number of teen pregnancies. The numbers jumped and skyrocketed at that time. Our schools began to change what they were teaching to talking about things like condoms and birth control instead of abstinence and self-control. So the United States is now the number one country in the industrialized world for teen pregnancies. With that occurrence of the 60s, we started to hear more and more about backstreet abortionness and the horrors that were contributed there, and it's part of why we came up to the point of where we hit our court case
with Roe v. Wade, the value of life came into question. When you go through the Bible, it doesn't actually talk about abortion. You're not going to hear the word mentioned anywhere. But what it does do is it talks about a value system that's in regard to life. And we read in Genesis at the very beginning that all humans, male and female, are made in the image of God. And what it says is, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Therefore, as Chris already mentioned, we have intrinsic dignity and value and respect for life. Indeed, our very breath of life is from God. We read that in Genesis 2. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So man was created, and it pleased God. We read the whole Genesis account of creation. Everything he made, it was good. And then he came to the day where he made man in his image. And we read as he sums up all that he had made, that God saw all he made, and it was very good. So it wasn't just good, it was very good, and man is a part of that very good. All human life is valuable because God has given value to human beings. The Bible in Psalm 139, you just saw a quote from it, reveals that God cares for people before they're born. Each life lost is a unique creation made in God's image, who could have blessed society in some extraordinary way. So what happened after the 60s and these abortions were occurring across our land, many organizations began to form to uphold the value of life. One of them was Heartbeat International, and it was the coalition or founding member of many of the pregnancy centers that are around us today. They were in place when in 1973 that famous court case took place, and the courts heard the petitions of a woman named Norma McCorvey. Although she wasn't known like that, she was known as Roe. And as a result of her appeal to have abortion legalized, our entire court system went upside down and changed, where abortion at will, and not just for the first trimester, was now allowed in the United States. Today, I just as a side note want to mention that Norma McCorvey is speaking on the side of life today. She has received the gift of eternal life through salvation in Jesus Christ. And she is speaking all over the place in regard to that and trying to undo all the damage in the courts that was done with that court case way back when. She was also our garden speaker a couple years ago. So that is very exciting that God can turn something, and we know he can. We see it all through the scriptures. God can turn something that is evil into good. And he does that with each and every one of us who have received salvation. And that is a huge blessing. So what happened when abortions happened, that God also raised up a people, as he's done all through the scriptures. And he has raised up places that spoke to the lie that Satan loves to share, that there is no value to life. And he created and allowed people to start pregnancy centers all over this county, country, and across the world. And they are speaking to the whole issue of life, which brings us to Crossroads. Crossroads is thrilled to have you as a part of our ministry and the voice that we have in our community. We began in 1984 in Rochester and then moved several years ago to Auburn Hills, where we sit today. We're at the corner of South Boulevard and Squirrel Road, just a short hop down Highway 59. At Crossroads, we recognize the pain and the fear that accompanies so many girls when they're going through an unplanned pregnancy. Parents are often overwhelmed by the sacrifices that are needed to care for a little one. And most of the time, the guys will take off when, as soon as the responsibility hits them, that they might be a father. And so we have many women who are dealing with this alone, and they're scared, and they don't know where to turn for help. So we're thankful that there are centers everywhere that can offer that place of hope and help for them. About half of all the pregnancies that occur are unplanned, and 40% of those are aborted. So we serve those who come to us, and we have girls that come to us from all over Southeast Michigan. They come regardless of their ethnicity or their religious belief. They come because they're scared and they need help, and we're so thrilled that we can be there and help them. An attempt to reduce abortion in our country means that we have to come to terms with unplanned pregnancies, and that we have to deal with the whole issue of extramarital sex and the other issues that come to it. And so our mission statement deals with many of those things. We are a Christian organization. We are not ashamed at all to state that we are a Christian organization, because truly without God's principles, we would not have the same value for life that we ought to have. And so our mission statement deals with many of the services that we can provide. We know that the ultimate help a young girl or a woman needs when they come to us is not just the saving of their life, but the forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ. And we are dependent on God to give us the strength to work with each young lady who comes to us. The many services that we can provide are that we can give free pregnancy tests. We do free limited ultrasounds. We saw pictures of some of the ultrasounds in the video, and they're beautiful. It's a wonder to be able to see that, and they are very much used by God. We do medical referrals, childbirth training, maternity assistance, material goods for children up to 1 year of age. We can do post-abortion counseling, and we give information on things like STDs and abortion. Fetal development, we do prenatal health care, and we offer an alternative of adoption to those who come to us if they can't care for them. All of our services that we offer are free in line with our mission statement. And initially, pregnancy centers, when they came about, could do nothing but offer pregnancy tests and really counsel a young lady to not let that life end in death with abortion. But today we're so thankful that we can not only initially give them the news that they might be expecting, but we are there to support and help them throughout their entire pregnancy and afterwards as well. And we can do parenting classes and support groups for them. As far as I know, there has only been one pregnancy in history that did not deal with a man. And for those of you who don't quite get it, we can think back to Mary. So most of us are dealing with men, and that is an issue as well. And so we're also pleased that we can offer counsel to women and men, as well as couple counseling for those who come to the center. And we've been blessed with buildings. 2 years ago, we had a meat market beside our first building, which is a smaller one, and that's where we housed all of our goods and materials in our offices. And the meat market, the lease was up on their building, and so we were able to take it over, and today that houses material goods for girls. It has a plethora of things, and if you've never come to visit us, we would encourage you to see what an incredible blessing it is for the moms who come in, and it's like shopping in a store. We have socks and shoes and diapers and clothing for moms and babies, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place to come. And if you have hours to volunteer, we could use help sorting too. So all the basic needs of a baby are met through the center's buildings that we are able to have. And one of the biggest services that we've been offering in the last number of years is sonography with the ultrasound. We have ultrasound available at our center, and we also have a traveling sonographer who goes up to other centers as well because they can't afford an ultrasound machine. And so that is a huge blessing that God has allowed that to be provided to us. Last year, we were able to give 181 ultrasounds at the center. And through the counseling and the ultrasounds, 197 women came to us, said they were going to have an abortion. They were just there to verify that they were pregnant. And through the counseling and the ultrasounds, 197 women last year changed their mind and are either still caring or have given birth to their baby. So we are very thankful for that. Last year, 169 babies were born through the center. We had over 265 counseling sessions, either individual or couple sessions. We were able to present the gospel to 496 clients that came in through the door. We were able to give 2,263 appointments, so that's not just a pregnancy test or an ultrasound, but perhaps follow-up care where we're helping them sort through and pick out clothing for their little ones, or coming in for diapers, or coming in for parenting classes. We gave out 200,000 wipes and 60,000 diapers or more, which is an amazing amount, especially since we have no funding that comes in from the government, and that is available through people and churches like yourselves supporting us and giving us the availability to do that. So churches are a very big part of our ministry, and we are thankful for all those. And just, I talked to Tony beforehand, and she said the numbers had not been received yet from your church, but the bottle drive you did in November for us, raised $455. And so we are very thankful for that. That is a very big blessing. One of the other things that we have done is that Crossroads was doing a lot of work. We were doing pregnancy tests. We were doing counseling. And we came to the realization that we needed to do more. We had to address the whole problem of teen pregnancy and where it started. We had to stop just providing a Band-Aid to a really big issue, but we needed to get to the root of the problem. And so today we are very pleased that we have developed a program which we're bringing into schools in the area so students can understand how sexual activity affects them, not just physically, but also emotionally. And this department at Crossroads continues to grow and develop, and I am absolutely thrilled beyond belief to be a part of it. We say that God moves our comfort zones, and I call it my weight loss training program when a new volunteer comes and wants to work with us, because it's really nervous to stand in front of 7th or 8th graders or high schoolers and talk about things like sexual activity and or come to a church and talk about the same things. And yet God provides, and He abundantly blesses the work that is being done through Crossroads. In the past, we've put together a fashion show that highlighted the need for modesty in our society with a really great speaker. We work with Crittenden Hospital to put on parent and information nights. We've done panel discussions with doctors and nurses and public health people for the community at large. And our programs are being taught by mostly nurses, nurse volunteers, in schools for middle and high school levels. We are teaching in youth groups and lock-ins. We do summer classes. We've adapted some of our material to be used for Vacation Bible School for elementary. And we're teaching students and teens that abstinence is a healthy choice for them, both physically and emotionally, that they're very much worth waiting for. It's very different from what we're hearing from the comprehensive sex ed programs or from Planned Parenthood. They are teaching that experimentation and sexual exploitation is a norm, and it leaves kids with their emotions damaged. Their body's dealing with an unplanned pregnancy because of the false message of safe sex, or they're dealing with unprecedented numbers of STDs. Our program offers information that is medically accurate and full of all the information, so they are hearing about everything that puts them at risk for those things. And we're making a difference. We are so pleased that students who hear the message are either affirming their own convictions to a stand for abstinence, or they are indicating to us, especially in the high schools, that they are going to make a better choice for their futures and renew a commitment to abstinence. And that is a huge blessing. Our goal one day is to close the doors at Crossroads, and not because we're not receiving enough funding and not because a Planned Parenthood is planning to come into our community, but because the need for our services is no longer required. As we teach youth and they understand and affirm for themselves that there is a better choice to be making and that they can have a healthy future and a healthy choice for themselves, we are hoping that our services will no longer be required. We have an issue with things like sexually transmitted diseases and infections in this country. The United States is the number one in the world, industrialized country for these numbers as well, and it's a scary thing. Pregnancy is usually the biggest concern somebody has, and yet you're four times more likely to ever get an STD than you are to get a pregnancy. And we are spending $15.3 billion a year on healthcare primarily because of STDs. So we have a lot of talk about healthcare and reform and how to save money, and abstinence would go a long ways towards helping with that. It's an issue because for those who are making those choices, one in four is living with at least one STI at this moment. And so that is scarring them, not just physically and affecting their futures, whether it's with health or the inability to even have a child later on, but it's also affecting them emotionally because they are putting themselves at risk. Abstinence until marriage is the best message that we can ever give to anyone young, and it's not easy. Following God's will sometimes is very much difficult, and it's not easy, but is it worth it? It is always worth it, and it is the best way to ensure that a future can be healthy. We discuss with the kids the culture and the many messages that are coming to them today, whether it's in music or in TV or in the movies they're choosing or the video games. They are making many choices for themselves, and they need to understand that there are messages that come across and how to judge that message, how to be discerning with it, how to make a godly choice. And sometimes it means that you say no or you filter, and so we're able to present a whole lesson that really belongs in the hands of parents, but the parents are abdicating that role, and sometimes the very first time they're hearing it is from us, and so we're privileged to be able to do that. We talk about values and how to evaluate what is right and what is wrong. We don't have a faith-based presentation in the schools, many of them that we speak at, because most of them are public schools. And yet the root and the foundation of everything we teach is found in God's Word, and His values are given loud and clear to the kids that hear the message. We deal in high schools with the issue of teen pregnancy, and we are so privileged to be able to present to kids. 2 years ago, we started in the high schools, and they are hearing some of what you just saw in the video, that your DNA from the moment you are conceived is stamped upon a child's life, and that they have value at that moment, and life has been created. And so we take them through fetal development, and they can see the awesomeness of how a child is born. What we know is that with teen pregnancies, during one episode of American Idol, which has just made its little return, there are 720 people during one episode that will get an STD, and 120 babies will be born to teen moms. That's one night of watching American Idol. It's a lot of girls who said that that would never happen to them. So of this number that we're dealing with, there's about 400,000 of those girls that will actually give birth. And approximately 40% of the babies that are conceived by them will be aborted each and every year. So we know that education makes a difference. And we're hearing that from the students. Their attitudes and their choices are changing as a result of the information that we're giving to them in the classes. And if they do find themselves making a choice that leads to a pregnancy, they can come to us at the center and hear not just that their pregnancy and that they are carrying a life, but that God is forming a life in His image, and that little one needs a chance to live. I don't know, I'm having a trouble. Can you? Thank you. So we are talking about a daily choice that is happening across our land, and the numbers are really quite astounding. We also deal with relationships both at the middle school level and at the high school level. Many students today don't hear that a healthy relationship is important for them, or they don't have it modeled to them in their own homes. And so it's new news to them. And we talk about what makes up a healthy relationship. I've lost control of my clicker. I don't know if you can. You can control that for me. That would be great. We're on number 22. So we tell them about the importance of their peers and their friendships and what a standard and what a conviction is and what it should be. We talk about what makes up a healthy relationship. Last year, we could present to 23 public schools. This year, we are presenting at 31 schools, including one I'm very pleased to say in the Utica School District. Often it's word of mouth. Teachers share information at conferences and things, and they're hearing about our program, and now instead of us looking for schools to adopt our programs, they're calling us and saying, can you actually come and talk to our students, because we really need to hear this message. And so we are thrilled. We have a school in Shelby. Utica has the biggest middle school area in all of Southeast Michigan. And the first middle school has now asked us to come, and we will start presenting there this semester with them. And so we are very, very pleased about that. The number continues to climb as we add more schools to the program. In the last 3 months, we have addressed 2,764 students. And just for perspective, in 2009, we presented in the entire year 3 more students than that. For the entire year. So the program is definitely growing. Our middle school program is for 3 days. We are in there teaching every seventh or eighth grader in a district. And for high school, we are either doing a 2 or 3 day program with them. So this year, we have done 259 presentations already. Today we do more in 1 month than we used to do in an entire year. And in 2009, again for perspective, we gave 209 presentations. But the schools that have us want to hear more. And so this year, for instance, we're adding a relationship class to our high schoolers. So every high schooler who hears about pregnancy and about the consequences of STIs is also hearing about a healthy and an unhealthy relationship. And now it gets personal. It's good to hear about what other people are doing. And I have to ask you, what about you? What are you doing with your time or your finances? We have no reimbursement from the schools that we teach at. The government offers us no dollars to help us. 100% of our funding is from churches, businesses, and individuals. And if you support us already as a church, you do. We thank you very much for that. And if not, we're praying that you will consider joining us this year and making a difference in our community and individual lives. The opportunities to make a difference for life are many. Perhaps it is with the Ministry of Abstinence Education at Crossroads. Maybe you are the one God is speaking to if you have a nursing background or a desire to impact students with a positive message about their sexuality, because it's not just about saying no, it's about saying yes to a healthy future, and it's a very positive message that we're offering. Perhaps that is something you can come on board with us in. One thing I have learned as I put on the hat for abstinence director for Crossroads is that God never calls us to a task that he does not also equip us for. And so every volunteer opportunity that we have, every counselor that works with us at the center is given training and the power of prayer to help them to do this work. We would challenge you in this year to perhaps pick up a golf club and join us in a fundraising effort at the Indianwood Golf and Country Club in May to join us. The Wingate is a lovely way to spend a summer evening, and we hope to have the president of Hillsdale College join us this year for a speaker, Mr. Arndt, and that is a very pleasant evening to come out. Every year we try to make a visible stand for our faith and our beliefs with a walk for life, and this year it will be close to our center. And we can do nothing, and I mean that, without the undergirding of prayer. This is the backbone and the reason of everything that we do at Crossroads. Our mandate is to teach, counsel, and advocate for life. And that all comes from God, but we are 100% dependent upon him to bless the ministry. So we ask for your prayers every day. And join us as a community of believers at a prayer breakfast in November. Last month, we heard about a Planned Parenthood abortion facility that is going to be opening up in Auburn Hills. It's opening within a few miles of our center, in close proximity to Oakland University, Oakland Community College, Baker College, several high schools, and it's going to be on the border of Pontiac, a very depressed and economically regressed area where there is a very high incidence of teen pregnancy. Their mandate is to make money and to end life. And they are receiving over $350 million every single year in order to do that. They are planning to open their offices in March or April, and we are doing everything we can to stop them. There is a petition at the back table if you're interested in signing. Even if you're not from the Oakland community and the Oakland County, they need to hear the city council that communities do not want Planned Parenthoods in their office. The one that they are planning to open is going to be the largest facility in the state of Michigan. And it breaks my heart, and I would ask you to please at least sign the petition. They are looking for sidewalk counselors and people to come and pray in front of their building, and I would encourage you to consider doing that. One of the things that we are doing to address that is not just through prayer, but there's a facility across the street we're planning to open at a satellite center for Crossroads, and we're going to offer ultrasounds and pregnancy tests. So anybody coming to Planned Parenthood will have a visible sign of life and an opportunity to hear their truth about what is going on with them. We have an opportunity to sign up with your grocery dollars for Kroger, and there's a sign at the back table for every time you shop that money can be donated to Crossroads. We have a banquet coming up in March at the Royal Park Hotel. We would love to see you there. Our speaker is Pam Stenzel. She's internationally known as a speaker that minces no words. She's a dynamic speaker. She is speaking for adults only at our banquet, but she will also be doing some community events. Wednesday, March the 2nd, I would encourage you to take your teens and your young college adults and everybody else over to Troy Athens High School, 7 o'clock p.m., and hear her speak and have a new conviction. And so we live our lives, and this is your challenge. How are you living your life? What example do you set in your home, in your marriage, as you parent, as you student, as you work, as you interact in your community, and as you walk before God? It matters how we live our lives, and we want to do that with God's blessing and live in a way that embraces life. We encourage you to pray. Pray for our abortion vulnerable women and men to make life choices and for God's blessing to be on our life-saving efforts. We urge everyone to honor God's gifts of love and life and sex and the holy institution of marriage and family and to love life. And pray with us. Our battle is not just about abortion, but with the enemy of life who wants to devalue it. We ask you to pray for an end to legalized abortion. Pray for the rescue of those babies that are headed for slaughter. And pray for a change of heart in all those who are doing abortions. Abby Johnson is a beautiful example of a director of Planned Parenthood whose eyes were opened to the atrocities that she was involved in, and she has now stepped away from the power of death, and she's stepped into life and is speaking. It can happen. Pray for an end to abortion. And I really thank you for your time and your attention and encourage you to participate in life. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Please, we'll be ending in just a very short time. I read recently that the number one cause of death among African Americans today is abortion. The number one cause of death. Can you imagine that? This is vital work that's being done here. And so, if after our service you're hurting in some way and need to talk to somebody, Evelyn, will you be here for a few minutes after the service? And we also have our pastoral prayer team down here. Please. Maybe you've had an abortion. We have people in our church who have gone through that and have even spoken up here. And so, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If you have something you want to talk about, maybe you're pregnant and you're wondering what to do, or you're struggling with some guilt in the past, come and get the help you need. Find healing. Find wholeness through Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose from the dead, and he offers you forgiveness and healing through faith in him. There are people down here who will be willing to help you, talk with you, pray with you. So please, if you need it, come on down right here. We're going to have our offering now. And the musicians are going to come and lead us in a song, which will also be our closing song. And so why don't we bow for a word of prayer? Father, thank you so much for Evelyn's powerful presentation here today, reminding us that life is a precious gift from you, and that every life, no matter how young or old, no matter how healthy or sick, no matter how big or how small, that every life is valuable and precious. Lord, help us to be people that stand for life and stand against those that would destroy it. Help us, Lord, through political action, through prayer, and through living the Christian life and spreading the gospel, to stand for life and against legalized abortion. But Lord, also help us to be people that reach out with a hand of love and mercy and help to those that are in that vulnerable condition, wondering what to do, or perhaps really hurting over a bad decision in the past. Help the world to see the church as a place of hope, a place of help, a place of forgiveness, a place of rebuilding what has been broken. May we be that kind of place, that kind of person, people, today. Lord, as we give you these gifts, we pray that you'd use every penny for your honor and glory. May we worship you in the giving of our tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.